Red Green always used to say, if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. And without a doubt, he checks all those boxes. We get to chat with Kevin, K0KLB of Ham Radio QRP. So get those combines tuned up and radios warm. Next on Live Free and Ham. Hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham Podcast. It's our bi-weekly episode where we explore ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we're excited to have you here, and we always appreciate your support. And thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. And we got a good one for you. So let's get into today's show. I'm your host, my call sign's November 1, Japan United Radio, and I'm with my co-hosts.
Hey, it's Paul, KF4TPY.
And Ryan, W1SNH.
And Todd, W1STJ.
And we've got our esteemed guests tonight on, Kevin, K0KLB. Go ahead, say hello, Kevin.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Great show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to an awesome discussion. But as we always like to do before we start to dive into the details there, we like to catch folks up here and let folks, including you, our listeners, know what's going on. As always, COVID that I'm battling here. My apologies if I have to mute here, but we'll get through it. We've got an online store set up finally. As you can tell, I'm wearing our first cut of the Live Free and Ham hats there. So we are constantly adding more stuff and coming up with great ideas. So feel free to jump on over there if you're interested in getting some Live Free and Ham swag and love wearing it proudly. The road less travel giveaway is up. So if you saw our premiere earlier today at 7 o'clock, you can head over to our website at livefreeandham.com/giveaway, and you can learn more about how to get involved in that. And again, this is from the brain trust of Todd and I, as we talked about in episode 21, are a dual kilo. And so we threw our challenge out. And so hopefully you guys can come be a part of the fun and see if you can be part of that giveaway. And lastly, we've got our usual host our live stream once a month. So make sure you stay tuned to our channel and you're subscribed so you get notified when we do go live. So without further ado, we've got a new segment. And now for something a little extra with Todd, W1STJ. All right. Well, yeah. Yep. That's a little something extra for sure. This is one of our new segments, like I said earlier, where you may have caught wind of in our episode 24, that Todd is feeling a little left out as Paul already got his extra, so we are going to band together as the Live Free and Ham crew and help Todd get his and attain his goal of getting his extra. So what we've done is create a small little segment, and we're going to, you know, grill Todd here with our quiz master, Paul, on three questions every episode on the extra pool, trying to test his knowledge to get him prepped to take his extra exam. So we're going to be tracking that progress on our website at livefreeandham.com/something extra. So if you want to come be part of the progress. And so without me delaying any longer, I am going to hand it over to our master of ceremonies and host, Paul. Go ahead. This is your show. Lead us there.
Well, if only I had the voice of Alex Trebek. Todd, for your first question, what is admittance? Is it A, the inverse of impedance? B, the turns of a ratio of a transformer? C, the inverse of Q factor? Or is it D, the term for the gain of a field effect transistor?
A.
Ding, 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 ding. Ooh.
Wow. Hey, there we go.
First one. Wow. Hey.
Number one. Woo. One for one, dude. Amazing. Okay. Let's see if we can go for a solid 100 here.
All right.
How many questions did I get?
So two? I got three questions prepared.
Oh, three
and questions. I've got a bonus. Okay. So question number two, how many watts are consumed in a circuit having a power factor of 0.2 if the input is 100 VAC at 4 amperes?
Ooh.
Is it A, 80 watts, B, 50 watts, C, 400 watts, or D, 2,000 watts?
50 watts.
Oh, okay. Real answer, Mr. Quizmaster?
The correct answer is 80 watts. And so if you take the power factor of 0.2, and you understand that E equals 100 volts and I equals 4 amperes, then you can do the math to figure out the consumption of the power factor defined by Ohm's law. And then you get the apparent power, which you refer to with the symbol of S. And so that equals 400 watts. And then to determine the real power, the apparent power needs to be multiplied by the power factor, which gives you a result of 80 watts.
That's exactly what I would have said too.
Well, just for the record, I'm using the fast track to your extra, and I didn't get to that section yet, but keep that in mind when I get there.
Well, from a BE's perspective, it might give you, a little leeway, but you still have to answer the question.
All right. And the number third question, which of the following increases Q for inductors and capacitors? Is it A, lower reactance, B, lower losses, C, higher self-resonant frequency, or D, lower self-resonant frequency? I'll give it to you again. Which of the following increases Q for inductors and capacitors? A, lower reactance, B, lower losses, C, higher self-resonant frequency, or D, lower self-resonant frequency?
D.
Which one?
D.
Did you say Bravo?
Oh, no.
The correct answer is Bravo. Lower losses will increase your Q for your inductor and capacitors.
That, I thought I heard him say Bravo. B, not D, right?
He said D.
D, Delta?
He said Delta. We're going to have to use phonetics. For now on, answer your question in phonetics.
Right, give me the bonus one real quick. Maybe I'll get one out of three.
Maybe we'll get two.
Or two out of the three.
All right.
All righty. Well, the bonus
question. This one is a difficult one. So what I will do is I will give you a glimpse of the question.
My God. Thanks.
Share your screen.
I can't even see that.
Share your screen, Paul.
Yeah.
That might help.
Here, let's.
Clearly, I have a lot of studying to do.
And we have a lot of more fun ahead of us. If we had to prepare this segment a little bit more, we probably would have had our guest actually prepare a question as well. Just to throw you a bigger curve. Listen, what device would tune up better?
All right.
There we go. Screen is being shared. Might want to zoom that a bit.
So, which point on figure E5-1 best represents the impedance of a series circuit consisting of a 300 ohm resistor and a 19 picofarad capacitor at 21.200 megahertz? Is it point A?
This is where I bring out the darts.
Point one, point seven, or point three?
Or the I don't know button works too.
I should say I don't know. I'll take a random guess. We'll say C.
If only.
No.
Ooh, A. Yes.
That whole question is like you might as well have thrown it up there in Chinese. So.
Well, next week.
Thanks for starting me off with the hard ones. You couldn't start off with the easy ones.
Well, those were the easy ones, at least the chapters you think you studied.
And so there's the math for you.
Well, excellent. That's
all right.
Oh yeah. That's
you know, yep. I think really what this should be is if I get it wrong, we should go around and have the rest of you guys try to answer it and see who gets it right or wrong. Since you guys are already extras.
Yeah, right, because that really helps us because we really memorize and remember how to apply Ohm's law. I mean, we have Kevin on. Kevin just randomly tunes things up. You know, right. We have no idea what the impedance of those things are. Cool. All right. Well, that was a good start for this segment of, something a little extra. So we'll keep improving on this one. And I know Todd will get much better along the way. We'll make sure we, you know, quiz him offline and, we'll work on some of the questions there too as well. But thank you guys for kicking off that interesting segment there. So, all right, cool. Well, we're going to dive back into our regular scheduled radio conversation. So as we always do with every episode, let's talk about your ham radio week. And because Kevin, you're our esteemed guest, what's been going on with your ham radio week?
Well, we just got finished with a 48-hour blizzard here, so I haven't been doing too much outside, but there's a couple projects I'd like to work on, do some portable work out in the snow with my little snow hut, and do some experiment with some wires out there. I'm so used to it.
There's a man who knows how to use radio. Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, that sounds like definitely. I did see your video earlier on the blizzard piece, and you were out there talking up a storm. I'm like, I could barely stand, in this cold weather here in New England. It's like, what, barely, a little bit above freezing. It's not even above freezing. It's just at near freezing. And I'm like, I can't stand out there. And you're like in the video having a conversation with the weather. And I was like, dude, I can't handle that. That's too intense. But that was awesome. Either way, it was good video.
Thanks. Cool. It was cold. All right,
you must have been, what were the temperatures? Well, actually, what's the temperatures now?
I think last I looked, it was like -9. And last night when I took the dog out there around 10 o'clock, the wind chill was -42 when we walked outside. But anything below zero feels the same to me. So it doesn't really make a difference.
Well, I give you credit, man. That's cold, too cold for me. I'm already freezing in my seat just thinking about it. Oh, cool. Excuse me. Sorry about that. All right, cool. Well, over to Paul there. Hopefully your conditions are a little warmer.
So I was having a discussion with the Flag and Torch guys the other day, and we were discussing antenna modeling and using the software to kind of try and figure things out. And I said, well, you should check out the antenna that I have because it's a fantastic antenna, but it's a little bit different, right? It's the K1 JEK Cobra Ultralight Senior, so it's 140 feet overall total length, but it's a three-wire element at the top. The bottom element is on its own, and then the top is a folded dipole, essentially. And so we were modeling things, but we needed some actual data from the antenna. And so I went outside with the antenna analyzer. Yesterday was a little bit warmer. It's 27 currently, but I think it was about 40 degrees yesterday when I was out there with the antenna analyzer. So got a lot of really good data points, and so they're working on the modeling aspects of the antenna, and we'll discuss that further later on. But I did also get a new little piece of test kit. And that's the Shorecom UHF, VHF, SWR, and power meter. And so I'm excited to see how my dual band antenna on the cookie sheet on the roof is actually performing.
Oh, very cool. Nice. Well, looking forward to future results on that one. And sounds like, you know, you're definitely on the way there. Hopefully the weather doesn't turn too fast on you around here because I hear it's coming. All right, cool. Well, so sounds good. Hey, so over to you, Ryan. How's your ham radio week been going?
Yeah, thanks. It's actually been kind of slow. I've been doing a lot of traveling for work and been away, so it's been slow on my end. But I've been kind of stacking up the project list for the ham radio stuff and kind of mentally preparing for that come this springtime. My one of the bigger projects is I want to get set up my receive antenna, and I want to put a big square loop cloud warmer antenna up and biz. So.
How big of a
to get going?
How big do you have a rough idea? How big you want it
for the NVIS?
So or the square loop? Yeah,
yeah, it'll be cut for 80 meters. So,
ooh, holy moly, that's gonna be a big one.
Full size. Yeah. Now, so that's yeah. Go ahead.
Cool. I was gonna say that now. So just a sidebar, Kevin, you have one that's like 3,200 feet square, right? It's like ridiculously huge.
It was 3,200 feet. I did that as a winter project out in the field in between crops.
Wow.
That's how high off the ground is it?
It was 10 feet. I had it on some 10 feet PVC poles, and each leg was 800 feet, so it was 3,200 feet round. It was a great shortwave radio antenna, but it wasn't very good for transmitting over. Over. God, I keep saying that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's okay. Don't worry. We'll include that from now on. I like that idea. We'll make this a real radio show. Very cool. All right. Well, so you're working on that antenna, Ryan. What else you got?
No, that's about it. Just still slowly learning the flex, getting the software figured out on my end. But it's, you know, like I said, it's been a slow week, and I'm anxious to dive back into the hobby here. So.
Cool.
I'll send it back to you. Over.
Roger, roger. QSL. All right, cool. Well, over to Todd there, our esteemed colleague here. Well, go ahead.
Well, clearly I haven't been studying as much as I should be. I haven't done much ham radio, actually participated in ham radio, but I have been listening to the Fast Track to Your Extra Class. And it's actually, I'll be honest with you, it sounds like, you know, is that really going to work? But I've been listening. I'm up to, like, I think chapter 15, and I'm picking up on the stuff, because after they go through the questions, they then review, and as he's reviewing, I've already been able to say the answer. So I'm hoping it'll help. It's a start. I'm also going to start using the app and taking the quizzes and going through the questions. But now with you guys hounding me, I'm going to have to really start cracking down. So I don't look like a fool in front of everyone watching these nets. They'll be like, that guy is like dumb. Like, what's up with him? But no. But that's about it. I mean, that's about it for now. I mean, I've been pretty busy. It's been a really busy couple. It seems like forever, but the last couple weeks have been really busy at work, and so I really haven't had much time to play around with the radio. But I am, when I do work the overnights and stuff, I do. I was looking at the flex stuff and learning how to do. Profiles and all that kind of stuff. So little by little, I'm dabbing into things. So, but that's about it. But I'm looking out to get out to another POTA as soon as an activation, as soon as the weather clears up a little bit. We've had a lot of crappy weather lately too, either rain or snow. So it hasn't really been ideal for getting out there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Although now that we're on this road to, you know, getting our dual kilo, it's going to be a little harder now that we're at, we got a deadline to come up against. So
we just what I need, another deadline.
Hey, we opened our mouths and inserted our foot, so that's what we get. Oh, cool. Well, all right. Well, with myself, just kind of round things out, I've been fighting COVID for the past week or so. So I haven't spent a whole lot of time in front of the radio, except for a little FT8 there when, say something pops up on Ham Alert or whatever, I'll try to work them myself from the couch. But been spending a lot more time on the YouTubes, catching up on a lot of my favorite YouTube channels, and getting to know Kevin a lot more with all all of the stuff he's been doing and been totally blown away by just how much he's, you know, done over, I'd say months, even years at this point, in terms of all the stuff that he just, you know, turns into, we'll say, antenna gold. So, you know, without that, I'm more of a, I started out as an appliance operator, as most folks would know. And so I don't tend to usually build a whole lot of my own things. So I'm always interested and enamored over folks that just have that natural ability to just kind of look at something and go, hey, maybe that might work as an antenna, or, you know, hey, let's, you know, cobble together two coconuts and a, you know, a small little coat hanger into a radio, you know, from Gilligan's Island or something. So, you know, either way, it's totally amazing. And it's great to find people like that on the, you know, especially on the YouTubes, but, you know, even to be able to meet them in person, it's really cool. So let's kind of dive into tonight's topic here a little bit. We're meeting here, obviously, Kevin. So like I said, we did a little bit of introduction to him. Again, Kevin K0KLB. He's obviously well known for his YouTube radio show, or YouTube radio show, YouTube channel called Ham Radio QRP. He's the guy that a lot of people have been talking about when coming up some really creative and innovative ideas, like the wagon train dipole. How about silos on the air? You know, my favorite one to date so far, and it's in the top three, is powered by Cheetos and water. You know, and, you know, obviously the last one that I true dearly near to my heart is the shovel antenna. I can't tell you how I was impressed with that design overall. So let's welcome Kevin here. You know, thank you again for being on the show, Kevin. How about you? How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Great to finally meet all four of you guys. I've watched your podcast, and so it's great to be on the show. I've been a ham radio operator for 4 years. I've got my general license, and I feel for you, Todd. And now I know why I won't become an extra, having those kind of questions thrown at me. So I'll probably just be a general for the rest of my life. But no, I kind of got into the hobby through a friend who actually lives up in New Hampshire. He lives up in Gorham. And we were friends through another hobby. And somehow we got on the subject of shortwave radios and ham radio. And he was a ham radio operator years and years ago. And so he kind of got me talked into it and got me started. And I got my general license, and let's see, I put up a, you know, I was a QRO guy for first 2 years while I was playing radio. I didn't even know what QRP was, right? I didn't even know what QRP was, so I was just cranking 100 watts into the air. And then my friend Leon, KC1LBL, lives up in New Hampshire there. He looked at the aerial view of my farm here and said, hey, why don't you put up a wire from this tree to that 70-foot silo and see what it'll do. And it ended up being a 550-foot long wire, and it's kind of off-center fed. And so I started using that, and I started, you know, I kind of just kind of by mistake, I was trying to get into a net down in Texas on 80 meters, and I was trying to get into them, and I haven't been able to on a vertical antenna, so this long wire really helped me. But I got into them with 50 watts, and I was like, hey, you know, they heard me, and I started lowering my power from that point on. I started working 50 watt QSOs, and then I started dropping my power to 20 and 10 and 5, and I haven't looked back. I've been QRP since then, so I rarely operate anything above 5 or 10 watts.
Your original setup, like, I mean, I didn't know you started at 100 watts. So in essence, you know, that's surprising. You kind of went from that to, you know, feeling this like huge draw to QRP and whatnot. Was it kind of like a frustrating moment for you, or was it more just like, hey, I'm just going to go over into this, you know, area that's unknown and just, you know, try it out?
Yeah, it was more of just experiment, and just I was fascinated that I could actually make contacts with such low power, and it just kind of fascinated me. So what I started doing was I got an ICOM 7300, and I started just calling CQ in the evenings with 1 watt, and I would record if somebody came back to me, I would record it. And I met a lot of good friends that way, and they're QRPers now. They weren't before. It's kind of funny. Steve, the guy I worked the QRP net with, he was 100 water until we had that conversation that night. He couldn't believe that we could talk back and forth with 5 watts. So it kind of started out there, and I met a lot of good friends and a lot of good QRPers from that experience.
Like, you've got a 7300 running, and, you know, at that point, did you just decide that, you know, that was a good enough radio for you and your setup? Or did you just like say, okay, now I'm really getting into the QRP deep end? Did you just like say, okay, you know, we're going anything, you know, I'm not going to buy anything less than, you know, anything more than the radio that does 20 watts? Because I noticed you've got a couple of different radios in your stable there. You know, you want to elaborate a little bit on that and kind of why you went those route?
Yep, right. My next radio was actually an ICOM 7100 for the camper, which was still 100 watts. And then I moved down to the Zygoo G90 with the auto tuner, internal tuner. And I worked on that one for about a year, started doing my random metal objects on the air, is kind of what I called it at the time. Silos and grain augers and windmills and dumpsters. And I used the Zygoo G90 for that because that tuner, they told me, they told me that tuner on that radio would tune a wet noodle. So I was going to put it to the test. And for a while I was using an external tuner because I wasn't sure, you know, how these metal objects would respond. And I didn't want to blow up the radio. So it was a little while into it that I finally just started using the tuner of the Zygoo. I'm like, you know, if I blow it up, I blow it up, but I'm going to see if this thing will really tune up anything like they say it will. And so far, everything I put against it, it's matched. So it's been a lot of fun.
My favorite video is when you took the old trampoline and made that into an antenna.
Yeah, that was my nephew's trampoline. I saw that big circle. I'm like, man, that thing looks like a loop. Yeah, we took it out to the field, and I let him make the calls on it, the first call. And his first call, he was using my call sign, was to a gal out in the Massachusetts, was the first call we made on the YL system, Jane out there. And when I do that stuff, it's 5 watts QRP. So I'm just operating 5 watts on all these experiments to really kind of test it and see if it's really going to work. So then I've got the ICOM 705 as well. That was kind of my next radio. And I use that a lot for pedestrian mobile. That's kind of the main reason I got that one, was for some pedestrian mobile with the ICOM backpack. And I've used that there. And I also got the FX4 CR radio out of China, which I really enjoy using as well.
Love that radio. Love that radio.
I do too.
All right. Well, so I was saying, you know, it's the trampoline is really cool, but the one that really caught my attention is your stationary bicycle powered setup. That is pretty neat. I like to ride the bicycle also. And I think that is going to quickly be on my short list of repurposing one of my older bikes to turn that into a little setup in the basement. I think that's neat.
It was a lot of fun to build that. I had an old treadmill, and I was told once by somebody that likes to prep, they said, if you ever have a treadmill that's broken, I want the motor out of it, because that DC motor is a generator basically. So I took it out, and I'm like, I'm going to keep this thing because I might be able to use it someday. And I had a stationary bike here, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to rig this up. And it was a lot of fun. I got it wired to my radio. I did some, I used my Zygoo G90 for it in case I do blow it up. You know, I'm not out too much money that way, but I did some POTA activations on it. I think the last POTA activation, I took it out to a wildlife refuge, and I pedaled for an hour and 15 minutes and had 58 QSOs, and that was all 5 watts QRP. And I was pretty tired at the end of an hour and 50, but I rallied at the end. I had to get at least 50. That was my goal. So it was a lot of fun, and it's great exercise. Yeah. I'm on it every morning, Monday through Friday, between 5:30 and 6. I'm calling CQ on 40 meters now, but during the summertime, I'll crank up to 20 meters. And I've met a lot of good friends in the morning that way too. I'm just calling CQ 5 watts, to anybody that can hear me. And the nice thing about it is when I push to talk and I'm talking, I'm pedaling harder and faster because I got to generate more power because the radio is requiring more power. And I'm generating about 30 watts to push to talk and talk to somebody at 5 watts. So it's a lot of fun and it's great exercise and it makes exercise fun. I hate exercise. And doing this, combining it with ham radio, it makes a lot of fun.
Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I just need to get like a bike powered power supply for my if I want to use radio, I got to work out.
Now that it's a cool idea. Now with your setup and your stationary bike, have you do you have any future like version 2.0s that you're going to modify it, change it? Do you have any future plans for it, or kind of?
No, it's going to probably stay as it is. The one thing I did add from when I first did the POTA activation, I had to pretty much watch my speed that I didn't pedal too fast and overvolt the radio. So I inserted a Zener diode, a 13.5 volt Zener diode to cap me. So if I did pedal too fast, because, you know, at first pedaling, when I had a QSOM, I got pretty excited that somebody was hearing me through this thing. And I started pedaling a little too fast. Next thing I look down and my volts are up at 14 volts. And I'm like, whoa, I got to slow down. But I did put a Zener diode in there to help cap that so that I don't blow my radio up by pedaling too fast and creating too much voltage. But it's a lot of fun and it's great exercise and I enjoy it.
Yeah. So I've seen some different channels where, like, you know, will it tune, right? And they do you know, baseball backstops and, you know, chain link fences, and I took a look through your channel and I was absolutely amazed with the combines and the wagons. Do you have an electric fence? Because I'm kind of curious with somebody that has a good amount of acreage, if they've got an electric fence, if they turn the electricity to the fence off, will that tune? And how well will that tune?
It does well. I did it when I first started out. I started out with kites. That was kind of my first experiment with this kind of going off the wall into something different than normal antennas. I used a couple kite experiments. And when I finished one of my experiences, it was down in the cow pasture. And on the way back coming through the gate, you know, I was looking at the electric fence and there's no cattle in the pasture. So it was turned off. So I just disconnected the gate there and ran one section of the electric fence. It was probably 1,000, maybe 1,500 feet of wire. And 5 watts, I just started hunting parks on the air guys and they were hearing me. And I was talking to him and I was like, well, this works too. So that kind of got me more involved in thinking about what else can really work out there. But yeah, electric fence. And I thought, you know, it's only 3 feet off the ground, but it is separated with insulators. You know, it's not part of a fence where it's grounded. It's totally insulated. So it worked really well. I was happy with that. I did a video.
Awesome.
On that
I'll have to
well.
Find that one.
I was kind of thinking like one of the things is like, obviously, You were just doing this not so much for the YouTube side. You were just kind of just curious as to what would tune up. So what made you kind of want to decide to say, hey, I'm going to build a YouTube channel around that idea? I mean, that's like kind of like, you know, a lot of people like know that, you know, especially in the ham radio world, you're not going to make millions of dollars on YouTube, you know, recording videos of, you know, antennas and stuff like that. But, you know, so what made you kind of make that transition? I mean, obviously it's an awesome transition and I love the fact that, you know, you're like, hey, I'm going to share this with the world. But so what was the kind of the premise around that?
Well, and that was just it right there. Just share it with anybody who wants to watch it and see what can be done. I one of my other hobbies is to video editing. When we on the farm here, I created a lot of harvest videos and just day-to-day videos. And I probably have over 1,000 or 2,000 videos of just farm and stuff. And I got, my editing, I guess my editing fine-tuned where I could keep things short and keep things interesting. And that's probably was the biggest reason, just to share with anybody else, tell the story of kind of what I'm doing and just having fun and sharing it with everybody that wants to watch it.
I was just going to ask, what is the name of your other channel for the farming?
Well, it's under my Bainbra, the the Bane Brothers is where my brothers, we just retired the farm this year. So we're no longer active in the farming activity because they're older than me and they retired. So, but it was under their, the Bane Brothers YouTube channel. And what we did was we did some harvest to different songs. I would rewrite the words to songs. Boogie Nights was one of our last ones. And I'd rewrite the words and we would play it out as the farming, as in the fall. So it was a lot of fun. And that's kind of how I got my editing in videos. And I thought, well, I can do the same thing for the ham radio stuff too. So I just continued it into the ham radio hobby.
Your location out there in the Midwest, have you found for us up here in the Northeast, we have a clear shot into Europe and down to Florida is real good, but we typically have a much more difficult time getting California, Alaska, Hawaii. What type of typical reach do you have at your QTH?
I'm pretty omnidirectional. I hit the coasts, both east and west, real easy. Being in the middle here, it kind of helps me. Being able to reach both coasts. I don't get anybody in Illinois, rarely anyway, or Minnesota or anybody around here, Kansas, Nebraska, but it's mostly California and the East Coast are most of my QSOs. And I do some DX as well. I hit Sweden and Canary Islands over the weekend with 5 watts and my little inverted V antenna up here on the pole. And it kind of depends on propagation and time of year where I'm going and how far I can go. It's a great experiment with QRP because you can actually experience the propagation changes as the sun moves across the country. And being here in the middle, I can actually watch it where it dies off on the east and starts picking up on the west coast. And next thing I know, I can hear myself on the Hawaii SDR. And just kind of as the skip continues getting longer and the gray line moves across. So it's been a great experience with QRP and learning how propagation works and how those cycles work.
Yeah, that is cool. I will say I enjoyed checking into your net this afternoon. And I very rarely will run the rig at 5 watts or 10 watts. And I was impressed. I did a little playback on the YouTube, hear how I was sounding, and it was neat. So definitely we'll be doing it more often.
Yeah, you sounded good. They had good audio. Both of you and Eric both sounded good from out there in New Hampshire. And New Hampshire's, it's sometimes I hit it, sometimes I don't. It just depends on time of day. But no, you guys both made good QRP audio and signal into Iowa tonight. That was great. And that's one thing about the QRP net is the guys can actually go back and listen to their audio and see what they sounded like at 1 watt or 2 watts or 5, whatever they can do. And, that's a learning experience for them as well, and they try different antennas and see which ones work the best for them. But it's a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys checked in. That was great to have celebrities. We like having YouTube celebrities on the net. It's always a lot of fun. I wouldn't
call it a celebrity.
Maybe Eric.
Hey, just so we have the information for all the listeners, how frequently do you run your QRP nets and where do you do them?
We run on Sunday nights, Sunday evenings, and in the wintertime we start earlier in the day because we like to operate on 20 meters. It's just quieter and it's not as congested as 40. So we try to stay on 20 as much as possible. So we'll start early. Right now we're starting at 4 o'clock Central, 5 Eastern. And we'll probably slide that back an hour as the days start getting longer. And we can, in the middle of summer, we usually start around 6 o'clock Central. But Sunday nights, and we don't have a designated frequency like most nets. We just find one that's open and then we start the net. And most of the time we get QRM'd away. So we have to move and QSY to another frequency. So that's the beauty of the live stream as well, as everybody watching the live stream can see the frequency on our radio. So as we go find another frequency in QSY, they follow us right along and we just pick up where we left off once we find a new open frequency. But I think the biggest benefit is the folks can actually hear what they sound like with their rigs and
awesome.
QRP.
I think one of the things that I ran into is actually while I was waiting to get into the queue per se to be able to get picked up, there was a couple of DX stations that were like asking to see if the frequency open, and I was like, no, they're not going to take this channel over. I'm like, yeah, the frequency in the use, please move. And just left it at that, and they cleaned off pretty quickly. So I was like, okay, cool, they'll keep humming along. And so, you know, and it paved the way for me to be able to get in there. So I was happy to check into the net, and it was definitely fun to, you know, I do have a QRP per se. I have an FX4CR, which I love to death. That's a phenomenal radio. Every time I watch you use it, I'm like, I got to dig it back out again and start using it. But I built it for a beach go kit so I could use it, you know, kind of at the beach per se because of all the functionality with it. But, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, getting into QRP, I think once I finally, you know, we achieve the kilo and get that all squared away, I think QRP is going to be on the radar again. So I have to say you inspired me a lot more. I don't know if I'll be a true diehard QRP guy, but I know I definitely will make sure it's part of my overall repertoire, as a ham radio operator. So thank you for that. So you yourself are a hero.
Right. Well, I'll look forward to hearing you on the net going forward. Then all of you guys can check in.
I've got a question, and we've kind of, I want to touch upon it because all of us kind of have a favorite video that we've all seen, you know, in terms of, you know, your channel and whatnot. The Quonset Hut one, I saw that one and I was like, you know, I looked, because it's funny, because like I watched some of your other videos and I found myself doing the, I'm going to watch the proverbial landscape part of his, like when he does like wide shots, when you do your aerial views of the drone and stuff like that. And I'm like, that could be tuned up. And you zoomed in a wide shot of the Quonset Hut. I'm like, he's got to have a video on that. And then I saw the video and I was just like, oh, bummer, man, there's got to be a reason why that didn't tune up. Did you ever, do you ever have any of those like moments, like when you did do, you know, that dozen antenna and it didn't come out well? Did you ever want to go back to do a version 2 to see if you could solve it?
No, I just I'm kind of a one, give it a try, and if it doesn't work, I move on to something else. But yeah, that was one that really didn't work real well. When I tried to light up a bicycle tire, turning a bicycle upside down and hooking the alligator clip to the wheel and didn't make any contacts, that was another failure. There are some failures out there and they're videoed. So I just show the good with the bad, but it was funny on that bicycle one. I could hear myself on the Utah SDR. I knew I was getting out there, but I couldn't get anybody to answer my call. So, but yeah, there are some ones that work really well and some that don't work very well at all. It's kind of part of the whole game.
I'm just thinking of like hooking stuff up. I'm going to be going to a lot of my son plays baseball. So I'm going to have to go to a lot. I'm thinking like, maybe I could like hook up the backstop as an antenna, just sit behind the backstop while he's playing his game.
Right. Or the bleachers. Seat warmer.
Yeah, or the bleachers. Yeah.
That would be cool. So the one, it's kind of funny because it's like, as I dive into your videos, I love them more and more every time. The one that I really, really was like blown away with was your shovel video. That one, I was blown, like, just the fact that you were able to make the contacts you were pulling out of Massachusetts, New Hampshire, you know, Connecticut, the East, I mean, everywhere. It was just like you were literally running a full vertical, you know, half wave on 20, no problem. This shovel was no bigger than what, you know, four square, and barely, you know, in terms of size. So it was relatively small.
Yeah, it was just a grain shovel that we use out here on the farm to shovel corn. And I took it along with me. It was in the winter. And I used it to push snow up around my hut. And I was like, okay. And I had intended to use the shovel anyway, but I acted like I was looking for something metal to put on the air. But no, it worked. It worked pretty well. I was pretty happy with it. And, you know, it's just some work better than others. I think I had some pretty good propagation, I think, in my favor that day, too. So, and a lot of it, whether these things are successful too, is depends on propagation and the band that day. Some days, you know, we, even with normal antennas, we can have a bad day with propagation. So it's just kind of hit or miss. And I just take what I get and move on to the next project.
So, just to kind of name a few, and I just kind of want to go through it. You guys feel free to jump in if you got anything. Obviously, just if you haven't been over his channel, my advice is his link will be in the show notes. So you got to go over and check out Kevin's channel if you haven't seen it yet. Definitely subscribe to it. It's a great channel. His videos are not like a lot of POTA videos tend to be. They tend to draw on a lot, and you see a lot of contacts. He very much keeps you entertained, but at the same time, he just like inspires you. So I have to say, definitely go over there and check it out. One of the things that a couple of things he's kind of done is the wagon train dipole. That was a big one. That was, they were the grain wagon trains, right? Correct?
Yes, that's right. Some old grain wagons. And I was just as surprised that it worked as well as it did as everybody else. But I hooked them up as I had two identical grain wagons, old Daikon wagons, and I put the tongues together, and I hooked them up with some ladder line into a dipole configuration, and I started hunting some parks on the air guys, and they started hearing me and giving me good signal reports with 5 watts, and I was just as surprised as everybody else. That was a fun video and a fun experiment to do those. Of course, you know, everybody gives me a hard time. You know, fill it with corn and then make some popcorn. You know, turn up to 100 watts and make
1500 watts.
I don't know if that would work. That might be a challenge. Yeah, that'll work. That'll be sure. Just don't stand anywhere close to it. So the one that I really thought was really cool that you spent a lot of time on that I know you struggled a bit was your water hose antenna, where you decided to go down, and I love the word the crick. Every time you said it, it just made me chuckle in the video. I was like, down by the crick. And I was like, okay, I'll go with you too. And so you were just down there and you're like, I'm going to take this 7-foot tube, you know, plastic tube, and put water in it, and we're going to make an antenna out of it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, really? And, you know, you made contacts off that. That was like, you know, that was just mind blowing in my own. It's like where I'm like at the beach and I'm worried about putting my ground radials into the water because I don't want to get them wet. You know, you're busy literally using water as a way to, you know, transmit RF.
Right. Well, you know, water's a conductor. I figured it would work pretty well. And it was a 16 foot tube because I wanted to be on 20 meters. So I had to make sure I was at least 16 to 17 foot. And of course, you know, if you're down by I filled the tube with water and I got it pulled up in that tree and it was leaking. The water was leaking out where my wire was sticking up through the bottom. So I had to improvise and figure out how to stop this leak. And that took me a little bit. But once I got that working, you know, you're in a creek bottom, you're in a low part of the land area, and my antenna was just barely high enough anyway. So I was surprised. I think I hit a Texas station and maybe one or two others that day, but it was pretty weak. But yeah, it did. It made the calls, but it was a struggle there. But it was that was a fun experiment. And my brother came down and we had lunch there on the shore with hot dogs and a fire. And it's just a fun experiment and having fun.
Well, I was going to say, I've been thinking about I need to wire up a new antenna switch so I can plug in my 705 to the matrix. So
going QRP, totally. Nice.
Nice addition here.
Well, Kevin, you're definitely, you know, on the survival side that you've basically proven that you can basically make almost anything that has some metal on it into an antenna. So, you know, that's pretty, it's pretty impressive. I mean, even if it's not as clean as you might want it to be, the fact that you've taken all these objects and made contacts. I mean, that's just, it's crazy, right? I mean, who would have ever thought, you know, you go through and you learn about all antennas.
And that was part of the process too, was, you know, if in an emergency situation, what is out there that I can use? And part of that also is being incognito, is I don't want anybody to know that I'm on the air. I don't want to have them see a spider beam or a big mast in the air. I can park next to a silo, hook up to the ladder, and I can make calls without anybody even suspecting that I'm on the air on ham radio or anything like that. So it's you can remain pretty quiet out there, and nobody knows or even suspects what you're doing, and you can be on the air and playing ham radio. But the silos and is a good for prepper type situations, things like that are going to be around that probably won't be destroyed. in a windstorm or something like that, where my wire antennas would fall down, I can still get on the air with some.
Now, Kevin, just out of curiosity, I'm kind of a data guy. I love looking at numbers and really seeing the true factual data on things like that. Right. Have you started tracking, you know, like, all right, this is, you know, the resonant frequency for, you know, the silo, and this is the resonant frequency for, you know, my wagons, and, you know, just kind of seeing like how your data plays out and what, you know, works better.
No, I haven't done any of that. And, you know, that's part of the reason, I guess, why I, you know, I'm like I said earlier, I'm kind of a rookie in all this, and I'm not an antenna expert. And that's probably why, you know, I don't know the difference. I don't know a good antenna or a bad antenna. I just want to see what works. And I have done some whisper tests lately. I found out I can get a whisper on my app on my phone. And I'm getting a little echo here, so sorry. But I can actually now look at the radiation pattern around my antennas to see how they're propagating and how far they are, and is it omnidirectional or is it one direction. So I've been using the whisper, and that's kind of about the only, yeah, I've been using that for just to experiment with that. But just to add to that, I'm not a resonant guy either. When I use wire antennas, I don't care what length they are. I just put them in the air, and I find a tuner and match it and just go. I don't cut wires to make sure they're the right length and resonant. I haven't got that point yet.
I guess anybody else got any more questions before I kind of just lead into a little bit of the QRP net stuff and kind of that stuff, or we can dive right into that next if you're interested. Okay, cool. All right. Well, let's do that. So obviously, I was introduced through, and actually Todd and I should say were introduced when we were on Ham Radio Clubhouse to you from Izzo. He had mentioned your QRP net, and from there I had bookmarked it, but then at the point, you know, got super busy and didn't really get involved. But then I wanted to reach out to you, and I think we kind of had opened up conversations, and then you introduced me again to the net and got a chance to obviously be part of it. So kind of share with our audience a little bit, you know, a little bit of what it was, because we did, you know, mention that earlier in the show, but talk a little bit more about that, and, you know, maybe we can get a little bit more interest in those folks that might be interested in trying to do QRP, and you know, they can understand the format a little bit, because it's a really fun net to be part of, and it's very, you know, we'll say casual in terms of its nature. So it's not like you have to have like a emergency net or have a you know, special you know, format to follow, and it's definitely a you know, fun experience to be part of. So, you know, maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, it started out, I have a Facebook group, QRPSSB, and we'd got together a couple nights a week on Facebook, did a live stream, and it was working okay. But then we decided, you know what, let's open up a YouTube channel so we can chat a little easier and have better communications. So we started there, and it just started out. And next thing you know, we're on the air and guys are calling in, hey, what are you doing? And we're just playing QRP radio and seeing how low we can go. So it kind of turned into a every once a week net. And basically what happens is I call, you know, for check-ins, and we work everybody right away. So there's no wait line. You're not logged. And then we come in and start at the top of the list. We work you right away when you call in. And so what we do is we just find out, you know, who you are, where you're at. And I use NetLogger to log the calls, so I know, you know, where they're at, who, what their name is, and they, so we talk about, you know, what antenna they're using, because a lot of folks are interested in what antenna people are using, and then we go down and see how low you can go before I lose their audio. So they may start out at 10 watts and work their way down to 5 watts. And I give them a report, say, yeah, you're an S3 or S5 or whatever they are, great audio. And they keep working as low as they can until I finally lose them. And that's kind of there. It's a good way to test your antenna, make it work for every watt out that you can give it. And then the folks, they can go back and listen to their audio and listen to how they sounded at 5 watts and 4 watts and 2 watts. And it's a good learning experience for them as well. But it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. You find a lot of folks that are 100 watters, they'll stop by and they're like, oh, I've never done QRP before. I didn't know, I can't believe that you're hearing me at 5 watts and we're carrying on a conversation. And they kind of decide, well, maybe I should turn my power down more often and just experiment with this stuff. So that's kind of how it started. And that's what we do today. It's once a week. And like I said, you just check in and we work you right away. And then you can, 7-3, and then we move on to the next person checking in. And I usually ask for QRP stations when I'm running the net. There's two of us, myself in Iowa here, and then there's Steve, a good friend of mine out in South Carolina. So he's the control of the net as well. So we share our time. I'll take calls, and then I'll hand it off to him, and then he'll take calls that he can hear and work them down too. And it's all on the YouTube live stream where everybody can hear it. And we just finally got our audio to where it's feeding out of our radio. So the audio is a little better quality for everybody so they can hear it better. And it's a lot of fun. We have a good time. So we welcome anybody who wants to stop by. We had a guy check in with 1,000 watts here a while ago. And he turned off his amp and went down. I think he got down to 5 watts, and he was having a good time with us as well. So it's all in fun, and anybody's welcome. Just stop by and give us a call.
Sorry, I'm going to have to definitely try and get in on one of your nets because I'm a regular on Ole Miss and 3905 Century Club. And I'm always running 1,000 watts on those nets, mm-hmm. And that's how I've gotten Alaska and Hawaii from here. Yep. So now I'm curious, like, what's going to happen if I turn the power down? So yeah, I'm definitely down for one of your nets for sure.
Great. Yep. Come on in. I do the Ole Miss and the other nets as well, just to check in. And I usually check in QRP 5 watts and I usually go up for grabs because I just let folks that, because I don't know who's going to hear me. I just go up for grabs and let those that hear me respond to me. And I got a Nevada station. He said I was really strong out there and it was on this 40 meter net on Ole Miss. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'll look forward to looking for that TPY call sign coming in one of these days. You too, Todd. I know you're not a QRP-er.
Yeah, well, I looked on my log to see if I worked it, because when I do POTA and I do activations, QRP always gets a. Did we work each other?
Yep, we did here a week or so. Yep, and I usually don't announce I'm QRP. When I call somebody Parks on the air, it doesn't matter to them if I'm QRP or not. I just they just want to hear me and get the log. A lot of times I don't even announce it if I'm calling a DX station. If they're calling CQ and I answer them and I get in, I typically don't tell them I'm QRP unless they ask me. I actually had the guy in Canary Islands. I don't know how, but the Canary Islands station I worked the other night, he repeated my call sign. He says, "Are you QRP?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm QRP 5 watts." And it kind of threw me back because I was like, "How did he know I was QRP?"
Well, maybe he watched your YouTube channel.
Could be. I don't know. But he knew. And I had recorded that audio. He had great audio. It was 20 meters. And it was in the middle of the night. We were both dark. I mean, he was in the dark. It was like 9 o'clock at night for me. And probably, 3 o'clock in the morning for him. So I don't know. But I mean, 20 meters usually isn't open that time of day. And he had beautiful audio and he heard my 5 watts. It was just kind of one of those rare moments where 20 meters was working in the middle of the night like that. But yeah, that was fun.
I think we worked, I think it was on January 1st when Eric and I were at the rail trail.
Yep.
I'm almost positive that's when it was. Yeah, it was just recently. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. Yep, you guys are working on your kilo.
Yep, excellent.
Yeah, don't you remember when I was like, hey, that's Kevin? And you're like, who? And I was like, Kevin, the guy who tunes up combines.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I was trying to say is like when I do POTA, most of the time, you know, obviously like park to parks, they always end up being preference, but QRP, I always get if I hear someone yell QRP and I normally try to get the QRPs in there first just because I know they're really working hard.
Right. I don't like to get preferential treatment. I like to be just like the rest of the guys out there. So I don't let anybody know.
Okay. Well, cool. Last kind of round. Any of you guys have any other questions you want to throw at Kevin or not? Do you have any questions about any of the stuff you work on, or we want to kind of wrap this up and, well, cool. All right. Well, I want to, again, thank you again, Kevin, for coming on, as it was truly inspirational to me. And I always keep myself, like I said, looking at metal objects in totally different ways. So I know that sounds a little wrong on many levels, but, you know, you guys get my drift there. So, you know, again, thanks, Kevin, for coming on the show. I appreciate you for taking time to do that. And just kind of want to give an opportunity. How can people reach out to you if they're interested in reaching out to you to learn more either about your channel or, you know, give you a couple ideas to try or you know, for any reason?
Right. Well, I'm good on QRZ for email. And if you go to QRZ.com, you'll find a lot of information about my channel, the QRP net, the pedal bicycle that I use for playing radio there and exercise, the hammer size is what I call it. There's a picture there, me on the bike. And so basically that's kind of be where you can find a lot of information about the channel and stuff like that. Like I said, my QRP channel is a ham radio QRP and my call sign. So you can find all the videos there. But QRZ is probably the easiest place to find me and get a hold of me.
Okay. Well, very cool. All right. So, let's kind of wrap this up, put a bow on it. So, thank you again for everybody, for joining, Live Free and Ham, podcast, community. And remember, if you haven't subscribed, you can always connect with our show, by always heading over to our shop and, picking up some great merch to support the show as always. There's definitely some awesome stuff over there and we keep adding more to, the corral there. And you can connect with us on social media for the latest information, shows and content. So you always follow us, QSL. And you can support our show through Patreon and buy us beer links in our show notes, as every bit helps us and support the show. And lastly, if you want to contact any of our hosts or our if you want to contact any of our hosts, you can find all the contact information at livefreeandham.com. And so thanks again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
Thanks for having me on. I had a great
time.
7-3. Over.
Thanks for coming. Roger.